I have said that I believe that the Jewish community is going to split. That some of their people are going to go against the bad ones among them. Well, just last week, dear beloved people, the Jewish figure was on TV by the name of Christ. And he was condemning the militarism and expansionism of the Zionist state, Israel. And just a few days ago in the Sun Times, a Jew was expressing his concern for the kind of narrow focus the Zionist people have that doesn't include the needs and suffering of other people that are in this group with them. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, this is a day of truth and righteousness. And those people who will give themselves completely to truth and righteousness, they are going to be the victor. They are going to be the winner in this day and time. We don't know it, but we have always been the winner. For the world situation, you know, and the kinds of things that are operating physically and before our eyes, human suffering we see, oppression that we see, the favor that we seem to see being given to the bad people of the world, hides the real truth. The real truth is this: never is evil superior to good. Never is evil superior to good. And never is evil stronger than good. Good is always stronger than evil. Truth stronger than falsehood. Righteousness stronger than wickedness. This is always true. When dawn began, who knows that light is going to remove all darkness? Dawn first appeared in the night, and it appeared as a faint light. And it steadily advanced on darkness. And the sun is just as big at the time of the faintest appearance of dawn as it is at high noon. So it's not that light comes from inferiority and gains a superiority over darkness. No, that's not it. But it takes time for the truth to be seen. And the truth is always in progress. Oh, yes. If we can only believe that, that kind of belief comes to people who believe in Allah, who believe in the Almighty Creator. If you can just believe in that, that will make you a more progressive person in whatever field of interest you're working in. So I'm happy to see Mr. Christy. And I don't know what kind of forces are behind Mr. Christ. But I am happy to see him come out and condemn the evils of Zionism. Or at least separate himself from those evils. And many other good Jews are going to come out, I'm sure. We're going to see more and more the Jewish people themselves coming out and condemning the blind militarism of that Zionist state we call Israel. But see, isn't the United States supporting Israel? I make a distinction between Israel and Zionism, between the Jewish people of that state and the blind leaders, the hawks of that government. This morning I saw on Issues and Answers Ambassador Young. And I really, really enjoyed and really was made very happy about what he said. Ambassador Young is determined do all he can to improve life for human beings, work for the cause of peace and human dignity. He's not about to retire. And the administration that's now in the White House, going to make good use of his skills. I'm sure. His own assistant, who is also battalion, has been moved up to that position that was held by Ambassador Young. He's now the ambassador of the United States. What caught my attention, perhaps more than anything else that Ambassador Young said, was his calling for an economic program. An economic program. A nationwide movement to improve the economic conditions. We have a new development in the African American people. This is the first time that I have seen the kind of leadership, independent leadership, coming from African-American people. First time. We have African-American people now, our battalion leaders, coming together and getting involved in our overseas political concerns. African-American people, their leaders, that is, from the private sector, from the non-government sector, going out of the United States of America not with the calling card that wraps bunch of carrots, they're going out as citizens of America who has the same right that all other citizens have to go outside of America and find truth for themselves. We have a group of American battalions who are who have gone outside of America to the Middle East to talk to the leaders in Israel and to the leaders of the Palestinian liberation to learn for themselves firsthand what is the truth of the matter, what is the truth of the situation. Now, I have to applaud their courage. But at the same time, I would caution them. Simply because I know they are not yet evolved enough to be as sophisticated as the Jews or the Irish. So I would caution them a bit. When we move out of the United States into foreign affairs, we have to be sure that we ourselves are together. We have to be sure that our own mind is together. And our own concerns are well known and clearly known to us. We can't go out half-cocked. We can't go out half-knowing what our own concerns are and where our own interests lie. We can't go out half-cocked, not knowing who we're going to shoot and who we're going to leave standing up. Because if we go out like that, we have to know what we are standing up for. We have to see clearly our own principles, our own concerns. We have to have them so clearly outlined that we can, in a moment, define what our concerns are and show them distinct from what the concerns of the Israel is or and from what the concerns of the PLO are. I don't know if all those people from the Latin American community are as socially and spiritually evolved as I am. I wish they were, but I don't know that they are. Side I'm on and what side I'm going to be on forever. And you can't know that until you find the truth. The truth that answers your question. If you go away from here with a lot of questions, brother, bothering you, then you better be careful of who you talk to over there. You might never get back home. And I don't mean back to the United States. I mean back to yourself. You might never get back home. Now, how sweet it is to know the truth.
Brothers and sisters, we have a number of problems in our own country that I want to quickly deal with before going into our message for today. Dear brothers and sisters, we have a committee for the removal of images in the worship of God. Now we know that the Bible tells Christians, Jews and Christians, make no image Christianity, for the most of its history, has been a religion giving up false images of the divine. The crucifix of the holy prophet Jesus and many other pictures that have been made and statues that have been made are really against the Bible. It is not the Western world's fault. The people who get from the East who introduced the Christianity to Europe, they themselves introduced a pagan package and called it Christianity. To the European people, they introduced idolatry. What they did, they compromised with the idolatrous religious thinking that was in Europe. Their object wasn't to convert those people to the truth. Their object was to make a friendly nation that was powerful, that had the capability of ruling the world physically. Their object was to introduce a kindred religion to those people, knowing that once those people embraced a kindred religion, those people would also protect them. They weren't after introducing fewer religions to the Europeans. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the so-called Jews who introduced Christianity to non-Jewish people. I appreciate the brothers and sisters of the Craig Committee throughout the nation who have supported my call for peaceful, respectful, quiet demonstrations against images in the worship of God. But I have to caution you too, dear people, because you will find that every time we take up a good thing and devote ourselves strongly behind doing it, people who are hypocrites, who have other concerns, who have other things they want to do, they come in as disguised as one of the committee. Their object is not to work in the interest of the Imam program. Their object is to disgrace the Imam. Their object is to discredit the Imam. Their object is to make people turn their heads from us in disgust. And let me tell you how you will know them. Those who struggle hard to win friends and to keep the peace and not offend people, they are supporting me. Those who say, let's go beyond this. Let's demonstrate violently. Let's disrupt their meetings. Let's obstruct the way. Let's make it hard for them to even pass to get into church. Let's put our signs in their way. They are not legitimate members of Craig. Their purpose is to disrupt. They want to cause disruption. They want to cause disturbance. Their purpose is to embarrass us
supporting me. They are trying to sabotage my work. Those who are supporting me, they want to look their best because they don't want nobody looking down on what we're doing. About 2 weeks ago, I came to the masjid on Sunday, and there, standing at the gate, was something that looked like it should have been in a insecticide commercial or something, being sprayed on. Standing at the gate, heating a cantaloupe. A whole cantaloupe, had it in his hand, looked like it was cut in half or broken half, and he was standing at the gate, right where everybody could see him as they come up to the masjid, eating the cantaloupe. Looking weird and crazy. Now that man wasn't crazy, that man is sane, got good intelligence. But he wants intelligent people from the society to think that this is what is here. Don't come to these people. Look, I represent what they are. These people are paid by Zionist devils. And crazy-minded, fanatical Christians who still will think in the days of the Crusade. We got to stop these Muslims. They are the Antichrist. So they send these dirty, filthy servants of the devil down here to embarrass us and take the people's attention away from us and make them think that we are a bunch of crazy people, a bunch of filthy people. We don't care about our appearance. Wearing this cap does not make me filthy. But if I carry myself in a filthy way and wear this cap, then I look double filthy. I look twice as filthy as a person who is dirty in an American hat. Because already our minds have been conditioned to see people who wear turbans and robes and things like this as filthy, less civilized than America. So the mind has already been fed that image of a person wearing a cap like this, or a turban, or a fez. Your mind has been conditioned to see him as somebody that don't care about the worldly things, who just satisfied to walk around and pick up garbage off the street and eat it, beg for pennies. This kind of picture have already been put into your mind. So as soon as they see a brother with a fez on, or a Geno cap, or this so-called pussy, whatever you call it, that I'm wearing now, looking dirty and not caring about himself, carrying himself in a loose, disorganized way, right away they identify him with the picture that has been implanted in their minds long ago. They say, oh, these Muslims are disgracing America. Look how unkept they are. Look how filthy and untidy they are. They look like bums, look like beggars and bums. You know what I'm going to do for you beggars and bums? You begging bum looking people. You're not beggars and bums. You look that way to disgrace us. I'm going to call the police and have you arrested. Every time I catch one of you loafing and hanging around out there, giving us an ugly sight, an ugly face, I'm going to have the police arrest you. Stop you from coming in here. You've been told, now you keep that up. We get on one nut, they send a different nut. So we put heavy pressure on one nut, today a different nut was out there. But I know he's from the same enemy sent him. Allah has given us
guidance for all the problems we have and all the problems this world can give us. Don't you think you can come up with a new trick? No loafing around the property. No loafing on the property or around the property. No hanging around this property. I don't want anybody to catch a Muslim on the street outside of the masjid for more than a minute. If you stop and speak to somebody, say, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, and go. Don't stand for 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes talking to somebody out there. Don't even stand around within 3 or 4 blocks of this masjid talking. Because people are walking here too. And you're standing around holding conversations and talking. And they pass by you and you're talking something that's going to discourage them. They hear something you say. You were there purposely to send them in the opposite direction. So you can do it, but you'll have to do it as the enemy you are. As long as you say you belong to this community, we're going to stop you from doing it. You want to do it as the enemy you are. Come with a sign saying, I am hot tail Christian holiness, duty, 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 boo. Whatever you are. I'm a paid skunk for the Zionist movement. Just come with your sign identifying you. And we won't throw you off. We won't throw you off the premises. We won't tell you to get away from in front of our messages. You can come, but identify yourself. Don't come around us pretending you're one of us and working against us. I hope that's enough for that. And if it's not, we got a different remedy to follow. No Muslim belongs to this community should wear something that I don't wear. If I don't come to this masjid in sandals, you shouldn't come here in sandals. If you follow me, how come you come here in sandals? You gonna come here in sandals? Why? If I don't wear the Arabian desert garb here, why should you wear it? If I come here with long Arabian desert garb, then you do it. Or ask me, Imam, is this for all of us, or is this just your dress? Is this to distinguish you as the Imam or the preacher, or is this the dress for all men? And if I say, well, I want all of you to dress, then do it. I wear this cap, a round white cap on my head. Sometimes I wear a different one that's a different color. And I wear some of those skull caps, knitted skull caps, occasionally, but very seldom. And I carry myself in such ways that people respect me no matter what I wear. When you wear a cap like this, it's called a prayer cap. Common name for this cap is prayer cap. You should be wearing it for prayer in your house, or if you wear it outside, you should be coming to prayer. If you're going to work, why should you wear a prayer cap? Now, if the man will let you pray on your job,
You don't have to wear your prayer cap except when after you've made ablution, stand foot on your cap and make your prayer, and after prayer, take it off and go back to work.
Happy note. There's a program headed by a group of brothers and sisters, I believe, included, in New York to pay off the heavy mortgage that's on the Malcolm Tabar method there in New York. The consideration there for that method is very serious. We stand to lose that method. They could foreclose and we lose that method. If it was just a building, I wouldn't be too much concerned. It's more than a building. It now has become a historical monument. There in Harlem, where the dope addicts are concentrated, perhaps in the greatest number, a community of people have sprung up, cleaning the ghetto, reforming and rehabilitating the drunks and the dope addicts. And the man most responsible for the progress made in New York, his name now is on that piece of property, Malcolm Tabar. That's too precious, too dear to us. We don't want to lose it. But all praise due to Allah, they have come to me with a very good relief program. The program of 300. All they're asking for is 300 people to allow their savings that is in the bank, or if we can't find 300 with 1,000 each savings in the bank, then we would like to see others increase their savings in the bank until it's 3,000 or donated to the project by sending it to the account that they have opened up. They have opened up an account at the bank. The money can go directly to that account, or you can get the news to the committee of 300 telling them that I'm ready to have my 1,000 that is in my savings used for that purpose. And what happens is this. Your 1,000 is borrowed on. The bank already has it, and it's doing you no good, except bringing maybe 6% or whatever. It's doing you no good, except the few pennies you're getting on it. It's just laying up there. And the bank is already doing with your money what the committee of 300 are asking you to let us do. They are already lending, borrowing on your money. And the committee of 300 is asking that money be put into one account, are into an account for this purpose. And if we do that, we can get the $300,000 that we need to free Malcolm Shabazz Method and get it into our possession. I'm behind that program. I met the man, I believe, that is leading the program, Brother Marshall. I met him, and I'm so impressed by him and his sincerity that I told him to carry the word back to Imam Ali Rashid and tell him that I support that program wholeheartedly and that I will seek funds to match what they deposit.
They've already started. And they got, I think, better than $30,000 already into that account. The money they put in from here forth, I have also got into this program to save the mouse in New York. From here on, I intend to find some money somewhere, and I'm going to put it into the account. Every time they get $1,000, let me know. I'm going to put $1,000 in. I don't have it, but I haven't made any promises yet that Allah didn't bless me to fulfill. I don't have it, but Allah will bless me to find it and get it. So we thank Allah for those concerned Muslims who share our sentiments for the Malcolm Jabbar Masjid, its history and what it means for the future. For not only us, but for the people of Harlem. That property is not only dear to us, I want you to know that. That piece of property is dear to many non-Muslims in Harlem. In fact, all Harlem identify with Malcolm Jabbar's masjid. And many of them are helping, too. There are poor people under great strain there in New York. New York City itself is under great financial strain. So I said that was a happy note, and it was. Let me now strike another happy note, and I hope I'll be striking happy notes for the rest of the afternoon that we'll be here. When I came into office, I began to work on the spiritual and moral needs in this community. And with the pure Islamic concept, we have made solid progress all along. But something happened that didn't make me very happy. In fact, at times it made me angry. And that was our enemy, the people that don't like us, that want to see us just die out, go underground and never come back. They took advantage of that time, and are still taking advantage of that time, to try to project an image of us that is opposed or against the positive things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to do in the Nation of Islam. They have tried to make people think that we now have become so spiritual that we don't want no money. That they have become just another church that only wants prayer hymn books, and prayer. They don't want no money. They don't want no business. So he's getting rid of the businesses. But we couldn't get into that thing. If I had spent all my energies in arguing with them and trying to dispel the kinds of things that they were saying about us that wasn't correct, they would have been successful. All they wanted to do was tie up my energy so I wouldn't carry forward the program that they knew would bring this community back on its feet. Our enemies know their intelligence, and they knew that it took spiritual awakening in this community, the correcting of spiritual concepts and moral development, restoring the community back to its moral strength. They knew that that's what it would take to bring this community back on its feet. And they were hoping that they would tie up my energy into answering and replying to their charges so that I wouldn't make progress in that direction. That's why I didn't make a point of trying to refute all of their accusations. But we had friends, and the few friends we had, they were able to get it out to the public that, no, D.D. Mamm is not telling the people to turn around and go back into spiritualism and forsake business. He's only telling them that the way they've operated business was not successful, and the imam shouldn't be solely in control of business operations. That the community should be allowed to go in business for itself as individual members. I encourage individual members to go in business for themselves and not to have a central control over all financial operations in the membership. Don't you know there was a time when a brother couldn't go into business? Don't you know? Now, see, you all don't know, brothers, sister, you knew people. There was a time before me, a brother couldn't go into business. You couldn't open a restaurant. The only way you could open a restaurant, you have to have a top official in the Nation of Islam in that location getting some money from you under the table. You would have to pay him